The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, Thursday night football went as expected. The Giants are terrible, and the 49ers stomped them into the ground 30-12. Brock Purdy had a very efficient night, went 25 for 37, 310 yards and two touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey had another solid night as well. He rushed for 85 yards and a touchdown. And then Deebo Samuel had a huge game for 129 yards and a touchdown, and that guy was just a workhorse all night long. Their defense had a turnover. They had a few sacks. And the Giants just looked as terrible as they've looked so far. Even in their win last week, they still looked terrible. Defensively, there's a lot of holes. But offensively, they can't get shit going. And I will say, man, you know, it's not Daniel Jones that's actually the problem. You know, I'm not going to say he's like the greatest quarterback of all time, but he at least keeps them in the games. But, you know, I got to say, I am not impressed with how Darren Waller has played as a New York Giant so far. Watching him last night, he had a couple of plays where you're like, dude, you got to catch that ball. I mean, there was one, it was kind of above his head, but he still should have caught the ball. I mean, he's a big-ass dude, and it was barely above his head, but he still should have had it. Would have been a first down and kept the drive going. And then another one was Daniel Jones threw an interception. And if Waller had just attempted to even try and touch the ball, it might not have been an interception. But, I mean, he really didn't do anything. So Darren Waller has been a pretty big disappointment, at least in my opinion, for the New York Giants. But, I mean, overall, they're a terrible team. And they look absolutely atrocious right now. And I don't know if they're going to be able to turn that around. And I don't care if they turn it around because I hate the Giants. Anyways, let's move on to the rest of week three. Also, we're going to do my head-to-head picks with Simon this week again. You know, he just started a new job. This is why we haven't been able to link up. So he's been very busy. But even so, he's actually kicking my ass this year so far at the picks. I mean, it's not, he's done. He's got a 4-game lead right now on me, but still, he's doing really well. Last week, I went a terrible 9-7 to bring my season total up to 18-14, and he went 13-3 last week, which brought his season total to 22-10. So yeah, he had a great week last week. Both of us picked the 49ers last night, of course. I had the 49ers winning 38-7. He had the 49ers winning 34-6. So we both were not surprised with what happened last night. And so we both are 1-0 on the week so far. So let's see what we think is going to happen the rest of this week for week three. So let's start off with the Tennessee Titans at the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the Browns are a 4.5-point favorite, which I'm extremely shocked by. You know, the Titans aren't an amazing team, but the Cleveland Browns are just terrible. Deshaun Watson looks like straight trash. I mean, I just wonder if he's even reading the defense correctly. He just seems to be just running at a moment's notice. He had two face mask penalties last week. He had some horrible turnover, so the guy just looks absolutely dreadful as a quarterback. And then they lost Nick Chubb last week, so I don't really see how they're, I guess it's because they're at home, maybe. And like I said, the Titans aren't that great, but I mean, I trust the Titans at this point way more than I trust the Cleveland Browns. The Titans have Derrick Henry at running back, and they could just run him all day. And they also have, you know, Tannehill's actually had a pretty solid season so far. He's actually completed the most passes, most deep balls so far this season. So, I mean, you can't really write the dude off just yet, and their defense been holding it down. So I do think the Titans are going to go into Cleveland, and I think they're going to get the win just because I think the Browns just look absolutely atrocious offensively. Defensively, they look good, but unfortunately for them, their offense is just going to keep them out on the field so long that they're just going to get run down and tired, and that's not good against a Derrick Henry-led offense. I just kind of feel like the Titans are going to ride Derrick Henry all day. He's just going to jam down their throats, and the Titans are going to walk away with the win 20-14. And Simon also has the Titans winning 26-10. Then we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Detroit Lions. Currently, the Lions are a 4.5-point favorite. And, you know, Atlanta, they've looked pretty decent these last two games, but I mean, they've played against crappy teams. So I expect this to look a little bit different. You know, the Lions are coming off of a pretty heartbreaking loss last week to Seattle. And I just kind of feel like they're going to bounce back this week. They're at home, and I think they're just going to bounce back and have a really solid week offensively and defensively. And I just think they're going to bring the Atlanta Falcons back down to earth. And I have the Detroit Lions winning 23-10. And Simon also has the Detroit Lions winning 27-24. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 1.5-point favorite. And, you know, I feel like both of these teams are kind of in the same boat right now. Both teams are just kind of trying to find themselves because they have two new quarterbacks. You know, you've got Carr as the New Orleans Saints quarterback. You've got Love as the Green Bay Packers quarterback. So they're still kind of figuring things out. But defensively, the New Orleans Saints look really freaking good. Green Bay actually doesn't look too terrible themselves either. But right now, I just kind of feel like the Saints are a slightly better team than the Packers. And so I have the Saints actually going up to Green Bay and getting the win 20-17. And this is going to be the first disagreement between Simon and I of the week. He has Green Bay winning a close one 27-20. Then the Denver Broncos are at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Dolphins are a 6.5-point favorite. And, you know, the Dolphins have a high-flying offense. They have the, you know, just the best offense in the league at right now, at least the first couple of weeks of the season. They are on fire. Tua's on fire. Tyreek Hill's on fire. Raheem Mostert's on fire. They're holding it down defensively, and they just look like an overall really damn good team, whereas the Denver Broncos still trying to find their way. I expected them to have growth spurts this season. They've had a couple of games just snatched right from them. And I kind of feel like this is going to be another one. I think it's going to be a close one, but I just think Miami's going to just, I feel like their offense is going to get the better of the Denver Broncos in this one. And I have the Miami Dolphins winning 28-20. And Simon also has the Miami Dolphins winning 31-24. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now, the Chargers are a 1.5-point favorite. And both of these teams are 0-2, and they actually had high expectations coming into the season. And so walking away, one of these teams is going to be 0-3. Unless we tie, then which wouldn't shock me, because that I feel like if it's going to happen with any two teams, it would be these teams. Just because they're... You never know what you're going to get from them. It's like one game, they'll just have this amazing game, and they'll beat a team that they shouldn't beat. And then the next week, they'll go up against a team that they should absolutely beat and just lay an absolute egg. And they both do it. They both have really solid offenses. And then defensively is where they're both starting to struggle. And then Minnesota's just having issues with the turnovers as well. So somebody has to win this game. Somebody has to win it. And I think it's going to be the Chargers. I do think it's going to be an offensive shootout. I really just see this being back and forth between the Vikings and the Chargers offensively. And I wouldn't be shocked if it comes down to a walk-off touchdown or a walk-off field goal. And I do have the Chargers going up to Minnesota and getting the win 31-28. And Simon also has the same thing. He's got the Chargers going up to Minnesota getting the win 24-23. So we both see it being a close one. Then we have the New England Patriots at the New York Jets. Right now, the Patriots are a 2.5-point favorite, as they should be, because the Jets have not beat the Patriots in like a million years at this point. I think right now they're currently on an 8-game losing streak to the Patriots. And the Patriots have not been that good these last couple of seasons, although neither have the Jets. But, I mean, you would think you would get a win at some point. And so far, they haven't done so. And right now, the Patriots are coming in 0-2. I think the Patriots are coming in hungry. This is the Jets. They know they could beat the Jets. They know that they're in the Jets' head. And to me, the Jets, not a good team. Zach Wilson is terrible. And I just kind of have a feeling that Bill Belichick is going to turn this into a very defensive game. I think Matthew Judon's going to be having Zach Wilson run for his life. I wouldn't be shocked if the Patriots cause a couple of turnovers, set their offense up in good scoring position. And I do expect it to be kind of one of those games where it might be like field goals traded back and forth for the most part. But I do have the New England Patriots walking away with yet another win against the Jets, 21-16. This would be the second disagreement, though, between Simon and I. Simon has the Jets finally getting the win, 20-16. Then we have the Buffalo Bills at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Bills are a 6.5-point favorite. Washington, yes, they're 2-0, but they're kind of like a fake 2-0 to me. They still have a lot to prove. Whereas the Bills, you know, they laid an egg against the Jets, but that's a division opponent. They don't usually play the Jets that well. And they bounced back hard last week, and I kind of expect the same this week. I don't expect it to be the same style of blowout. I think they'll score a couple less touchdowns this week, but I still expect them to blow out the Commanders. I have the Buffalo Bills winning 24-10. Simon also has the Buffalo Bills winning 31-21. Then we have the Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, the Jaguars are a 9.5-point favorite. So far, the Texans are what the Texans are. Absolute shit. The Jaguars, though, you know, the first two games of the season, they had some close calls, some very close games, and they walked away with a win against the Colts, and they lost a close one to the Chiefs last week. So I kind of feel like this is going to be a nice week where they just get an absolute blowout, where they look like they should offensively. And I have the Jacksonville Jaguars winning in a blowout, 41-13. Simon thinks it's going to be a little bit closer, but he also has the Jaguars walking away with the win, 19-10. And then the last early game we have is the Indianapolis Colts at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are an 8.5-point favorite. Looks like Richardson is not going to start at quarterback for the Colts. I don't think I was going to be picking the Colts regardless anyways, just because I think the Ravens really are a solid team from top to bottom. They look really good, especially defensively. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Lamar Jackson looked very accurate and in sync with the entire offense. So I kind of like what I'm seeing from them. So I have the Baltimore Ravens absolutely dominating this game, 33-20. And Simon also has the Ravens dominating this game, 27-13. Then moving on to the late afternoon games, we have the Carolina Panthers at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 4.5-point favorite. And Carolina will be out without Bryce Young at starting quarterback. Looks like he might miss a couple of games, but he's definitely going to miss this game. And so Andy Dalton's going to start at quarterback, and I don't think that's a bad thing for them. Andy Dalton has stepped in over the years, and he's stepped in as a great backup quarterback. So I don't think the Panthers are in bad hands with him, but I just think Seattle is – they have a better identity and just know what they are, whereas the Panthers are still struggling. They're still trying to figure it out. Defensively, they look really good. Offensively, they just have so many questions, and they still have a lot to get together. And so I think Seattle's going to walk away with this win 24-13. But Simon and I disagree yet again. Simon's taking his Carolina Panthers to walk away with the win 23-17. So good on you, Simon, for taking your team this week. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are a 12.5-point favorite, and that says a lot. Chicago has started off the season horribly, and it got worse this week. Beginning with something that I think is odd that's not getting a lot of press. I mean, it started to, but nobody really cared, and then he resigned, and now we're going to just sweep it under the rug and I guess act like nothing's happening here. The Chicago Bears defensive coordinator, you know, he was dismissed or he was excused from last week's game, and they didn't give a reason why. They just said personal reasons. Well, turns out the guy had his home raided by the FBI. Usually, and it's I can't recall the wording of what basically they said they were looking for, but the wording to me sounded like the dude had some type of child porn on a computer, is what it's sounding like. We don't have any proof of that, so don't quote me. Don't think that's what I'm just speculating from the wording that I got. And when the FBI raids your home, it's something serious, and it didn't sound like some type of tax shit or fraud shit. It sounded like some kiddie porn shit. So they had that going on earlier this week, and the defensive coordinator resigned, and we're just going to act like nothing happened here, but we'll see what happens with that dude, if anything comes about from that. But regardless, he ain't going to be coaching with the Chicago Bears or anybody else, I imagine, anytime soon. Then a couple days later, there was a press conference with Justin Fields, the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears. And it was a very odd, just when I was watching it, I was like, that's just a very, like, weird way to answer questions. It sounded like he was blaming the coaching staff. I don't know. I don't like to speculate. But from what I saw, I mean, he directly said it might be a coaching thing. And so when you say that, he's kind of blaming the coaching staff. In my opinion, it sounds like there's some coaching issue, because if you were a good coach, you would have coached him on how to answer questions like that thrown at him. But anyways, that became some more drama for the Bears, and just their season's already crumbling, and it's only week three. And they get to go to Kansas City this week, the defending Super Bowl champions, who haven't really had like a high-flying offensive game. So this kind of smells like a high-flying offensive game to me, and I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs are going to annihilate the Chicago Bears 41-10. Simon has a little bit closer of a score, but he also has the Chiefs winning 27-17. And then the last afternoon game is my Dallas Cowboys at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Cowboys are a 12.5-point favorite. We did get some terrible news yesterday. Our standout cornerback, Trayvon Diggs, unfortunately tore his ACL yesterday in practice and is now out for the rest of the season. It is a heartbreaker as a Cowboys fan, but unlike the melodramatic Cowboys fans, this does not end our season. Trayvon Diggs is a huge part of our defense, but you got to look at all the moves we made in this offseason. We have really stacked the deck at every single position, and we have a lot of depth at every single position, including cornerback. So we're going to be okay. We traded for Stephon Gilmore this offseason, which was, that's a huge reason why, and we still have him. So, and you can't, people, every team goes through injuries. Every team is going to have some dude on their team suffer a debilitating injury, and it's going to cost them a season. It happens to every team. Y'all couldn't have thought we were going to skate by this season without an injury. It sucks. It's terrible, but it does not end our Super Bowl hopes. It just means Trayvon Diggs is going to be standing on the sideline when we win the Super Bowl rather than playing in the Super Bowl. That's all there is to it. But in this game, it's really not going to matter, because the Arizona Cardinals are straight trash, homie. And I expect the Cowboys to do what they've done the first 2 weeks. Just absolutely dominate offensively, defensively, and on special teams. And I see the Cowboys walking away with the big win, 38-7. And Simon also has the Cowboys walking away with the big win, 31-10. Then our Sunday night football matchup is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Steelers are a 1.5-point favorite. Don't ask me how, because the Steelers have, like, the most anemic offense in the league. Them and the Giants have, like, the worst offense. You just look at them and you're like, can you complete a pass? When was your last first down? That's what I think every time I'm watching both of those offenses. And so I don't know how the Steelers are favored, especially when Vegas is at home. And, you know, yes, Vegas got their asses beat last week against the Bills, but they were playing the Bills, coming off of a pretty bad loss. So I actually think Vegas is going to bounce back this week, because what are the Steelers going to do? I think their offense is just awful, and I see it getting worse as the season rolls on, where I just think Vegas is at home. I think they're going to bounce back from last week's terrible game, and so I have the Raiders winning 23-10, and Simon also has the Raiders winning 23-17. Then this week, we also have, once again, two Monday Night Football games. Who can complain about that? I don't fucking know. Sounds great to me. 2 weeks, two Monday Night Football games. Love it. So the first Monday Night Football matchup we have is the Philadelphia Eagles at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Eagles are a 6.5-point favorite. So far, the Eagles have just been dominated with their defense. Their defense is rolling. They are why they're winning. And their offense is still finding their way. And I expect them to still kind of be finding their way in this game. But I still expect them to get the win. I kind of feel like this is going to be a comeback down to earth game for the Buccaneers. But I do kind of feel like, you know, the Buccaneers defense has been really solid. So I kind of look at this matchup like it's going to be a defensive battle in the trenches. But I think just the Eagles will get the better of the Buccaneers. Maybe get a turnover for a touchdown or sets their offense up in good field position. A blocked field goal, some type of weird play. I kind of see that's how this game's going to come down to it. But I have the Eagles winning 19-17. And Simon also has the Eagles winning a close one, 27-20. Then the second Monday Night Football matchup is the Los Angeles Rams at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Bengals are a 6.5-point favorite, which I can't believe because there's a possibility that Joe Burrow is not going to play. I think he's going to play, but, you know, they really haven't had any. We just don't really know. It's very up in the air. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Rams this season. They've been, you know, they did get beat by the Niners, and it was close to start, but then the second half started and the Niners just started running away with it. But the Rams are still a good team. They still have some really good players, and Matthew Stafford's healthy this year. So, and he's finding some new offensive weapons, which he needs. So I have the Rams winning this one 23-14 just because the Bengals are in such disarray offensively. They really don't look in sync. And I just kind of feel like the Rams are going to come in here. Their defense is going to take care of business. And I think their offense is going to take care of business. And I've got the Rams winning 23-14. And Simon also has the Rams winning 27-16. So that's how we see week three coming out. So let's move on to baseball and take a look at the playoff picture right now in the American League East. The Baltimore Orioles still hold the lead on the East. Right now they have a 1.5-game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. And both the Orioles and the Rays have clinched playoff spots, so they for sure are in the playoffs, whether they win the division or are a wild card team. Then the AL Central, Minnesota Twins are just pulling further and further away. Right now they have an 8.5-game lead over the Cleveland Guardians, so they should be taking that division, I feel like, any day now. And then the American League East, the West, which is the division we're all looking at that is probably going to be a battle until the last game of the season. Right now, the Houston Astros have a 0.5-game lead over both the Mariners and the Rangers. So this is just coming down to the nitty-gritty. Seattle and Texas and Houston as well, they've all had their up-and-down moments, especially as of late. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the West, but then also in the wild card as well, because right now in the wild card, the top three teams, which are actually technically the top four teams because we have Tampa Bay and Toronto up there, and then right now Seattle and Texas, since they're tied, they are tied for that last wild card spot. So we'll see how it turns out, but it's looking like it's going to be a battle between Baltimore and Tampa for the East, Houston, Seattle, and Texas for the West. And then for the wild card, Tampa, Toronto, Seattle, and Texas is what it's looking like at this point. Then turning to the National League, of course, the East already won by the Atlanta Braves. Then the Central, the Milwaukee Brewers are just getting further and further away from the Chicago Cubs. Right now they have an 8-game lead over the Cubs, so I feel like the Brewers are going to take this division any day now. And then, of course, the Dodgers already won the West. So the wild card, National League wild card picture looks like this right now. The Philadelphia Phillies, the Arizona Cardinals, and then the Chicago Cubs and the Miami Marlins are tied for that third spot, with the Cincinnati Reds only 0.5-game out. And then my shitty San Francisco Giants 3 games out. And the Giants are just getting worse and worse as the season rolls on, and it's just awful. So that's why I called them shitty. But, you know, there's 3 games out, so they have a shot. But the way they're playing, I'm not expecting any miracles. But, hey, they're still in it, so I'll be rooting for them till the end. Then we just had a couple of other things happen in baseball this week. Corbin Carroll became the first rookie in Major League Baseball history the first rookie ever to do this, with the Arizona Diamondbacks nonetheless, to have record 50 stolen bases and 25 home runs in the season. He actually accomplished this feat against my San Francisco Giants earlier in the week. Isn't that awesome? So, yeah, congratulations though, to Corbin Carroll. That's, he's been having a historical, amazing season, and that just goes to show it when you are the first ever to do something like that. Good for you, dude. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are right in line for that wild card spot partly because of him and how well he's played this season. I've spoken on a couple of journeymen, workhorse, longtime pitchers in this game. You know, we've got Justin Verlander. He's not having the type of season he had last year, but, you know, the dude's old as fuck and still getting it done. Then you have Clayton Kershaw, who is also old as fuck and still getting it done. And then you have Max Scherzer, who's had an injury-prone season, but when he's healthy, he still gets it done. But then you also have the forgotten Adam Wainwright. He recorded, the starting pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals. He recorded his 200th win in his career with a win over the Milwaukee Brewers earlier this week. He had seven scoreless innings pitched. So it was not only a good win, but it was just, it was what you want as a pitcher. You know, Wainwright has been in the league for many years. He's been an excellent pitcher for the majority of it. You know, the last 5-ish years, he's been suffering through a lot of injuries, but when he pitches, he still pitches out of his mind. So to see him get his 200th win, that's just great for him. You know, he's the second pitcher to do that this season. Kershaw did it earlier in the season. So Wainwright, just yet another one of those great pitchers we've had over the last, 15, 20 years. We've had those core guys really be that great this entire time. And so not shocking to see him get his 200th win. Who knows if this is going to be his last season, because it's kind of felt like it's going to be his last season the last couple of years. But I kind of feel like your 200th win, maybe that's what he was sticking around for, because we know the Cardinals are going nowhere come postseason time. And then, of course, the other big news was Shohei Ohtani ended up having elbow surgery this week. They didn't say if it was Tommy John, but it sure sounds like it was Tommy John surgery, because he's definitely not going to be pitching until 2025, which, unfortunately for him, it really costs him in the contract department, because, you know, he's a free agent. He's going to be the top free agent this offseason. But I still expect him to garner a lot of interest, probably from every single team in the league. And regardless of what he does, he's a great game-changing player. As a San Francisco Giants fan, I, of course, want them to go all in on Shohei Ohtani. And if they sign him, I'm going to be the first in line to be buying a Shohei Ohtani jersey. So I hope they sign him. But I feel like everybody's going to be after him. But unfortunately, we're going to have to wait a whole year for him to pitch ever again. But he's still going to be hitting. So, and he's excellent as a designated hitter. So whoever gets him is getting a game-changing player who's going to change the face of your franchise probably for at least the next 5-ish years. And so with that being said, now that his season is officially over, and it's time for him to start thinking about free agency, I decided I'm going to list off the top five teams for Shohei Ohtani in the offseason. These are just the teams. I feel like every team is making a play at Ohtani this year. You'd be stupid not to be quite honest. I mean, he's going to at least be putting butts in the seats, if anything. So I feel like everybody is making a play for him. But these are the teams that I feel like would not only help him from a marketing standpoint, because if you're an athlete, that's always something you're looking at, is what type of other money are you going to be making outside of your contract with the team. So I'm looking at things like that. I'm like, you know, looking at the big markets, but there also is a market I have on here, because they're all four of them are major markets. The other one I would call a major market, but it's not near as major as the other ones. But I think they would be in play for it. And none of these are in order or anything. They're just five teams that I feel like should make a play for Ohtani and would be a good fit for Ohtani. So let's start it off with the New York Yankees, of course. I mean, they always make a play for the biggest names in the game. And I think they could survive without him pitching next year because they already have a solid starting pitching staff now. I think their starting pitching is really good, even though they've had a terrible season so far this year. It's not really their pitching that's been the problem. It's actually been the injuries and just they're not really getting it done offensively, which is what Ohtani would do to change it. Now, with Ohtani and his injuries, I kind of feel like at some point he's going to get injured, but so we don't even need to think about that. But I feel like the Yankees, of course, big market. He would just be, you know, going on to another. I mean, who doesn't want to play for the Yankees? I feel like if you're a baseball player, everybody wants to play for the Yankees. It's the motherfucking Yankees. Even if you grew up a Red Sox fan and you play baseball, I kind of feel like if you get a contract to the Yankees, why the hell would you not go to the Yankees? They're the fucking Yankees. But so that's how I feel with Ohtani. I feel like he'd be very marketable up there. He would fit their lineup very well. Like I said, I think they could survive without him being a starting pitcher. And then when he comes around in 2025, there they go. They got another starting pitcher. And then all we do is compare him and Babe Ruth, him and Babe Ruth, him and Babe Ruth, him and Babe Ruth. We already do that now. But if he becomes a Yankee, it's going to be like him and Babe Ruth is all we're fucking talking about, probably. Then another team I feel like Shohei Ohtani would fit well with would be the Chicago Cubs. Obviously, they are one of the top marketed teams in the league. I mean, really, I kind of feel like the Cubs are like the Yankees. Why the hell wouldn't you want to go to the Cubs? They're not known for winning like the Yankees are, but they're still the Cubs. They're still a big brand. So you're definitely going to get that marketability aspect of it. But they're also a team I feel like could use the offensive help, and they don't need the starting pitching for a year. They could totally be fine without him pitching next year and then have him be a starting pitcher in 2025 with Steele. And then you would have those two. I mean, could you imagine him if Justin Steele is as good as he is this year in two seasons with him and Ohtani pitching 1-2? Holy shit, that would be one hell of a lineup right there. So I think he would fit right in with the Cubs, and I feel like that's something they need. A missing piece like him, I feel like, would elevate them to playoff level. And then another team I feel like would fit well for Ohtani, of course, is my San Francisco Giants. Why wouldn't he fit well there? I mean, the Giants desperately need a star player. That is what I feel like the Giants are missing. We do have a lot of good players. We just need a big freaking star. And that's what Ohtani would bring to us, especially offensively. We could use the offensive help. Because starting pitching has not been bad for the Giants. And they definitely will want him to be a pitcher in 2025, in my opinion. But he would fit well there. He would be another great marketable place for him. And like I said, I would love to see Shohei Ohtani in a Giants uniform. And like I said, I would be the first to be buying a Shohei Ohtani jersey. So just throwing that out there, dude. Although we all know whatever team he's going to, everybody's buying his jersey. But I know me, if he were to sign with the Giants, first day of free agency, boom, I am going to Fanatics.com or wherever the fuck I want, and I am buying myself a Shohei Ohtani jersey. Then, of course, another team that I believe he would fit well, of course, would be the stupid-ass Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, you know that's the last team I want him to go to because I like Shohei Ohtani. I want to continue to root for Shohei Ohtani. But if he goes to the Dodgers, I cannot root for Shohei Ohtani. I can respect Shohei Ohtani, but I cannot root for him. So I don't want to see him in the Dodgers uniform. But of course, I would expect them to make a strong push for him. They're always making a strong push for big players, just like the Yankees do. And they're also a team who could get away with not needing a starting pitcher for 2024 and waiting for him for 2025. But he would give them a huge offensive boost, and he would fit. I mean, it's the LA market. He's already in the LA market, so he wouldn't even have to really move. He'd be in the same exact market. that he's at and just be on the legitimate Los Angeles team, not the fake Los Angeles team. Because if you don't know, we all know, the stupid-ass Angels are all the way in Anaheim. Anaheim ain't nowhere near Los Angeles. If you are from Southern California or have visited Southern California a lot like I have, you know Anaheim ain't nowhere near Los Angeles. It's like, if it's traffic, if you're waiting in traffic, that's like a fucking two and a half hour drive. If there's no traffic, it's still like an hour and a half freaking drive. That ain't nowhere close. So the Angels should remove that freaking Los Angeles name from their freaking team name because they are nowhere near Los Angeles. So if Shohei Ohtani actually signs with the Dodgers, he'd be signing with the real Los Angeles team and the real freaking Southern California baseball team too, because we all know Southern California baseball sucks outside of the Dodgers. Ask the Padres. And then the last team that I'm going to throw out there that I believe would be a good fit for Shohei Ohtani, and it's completely out of left field, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him go there, and I think it would be a good fit, and that's the Texas Rangers. You know, the Texas Rangers, they signed DeGrom, and then he got injured, so unfortunately, he didn't really do what he was supposed to do this season, but he's still an ace. Then they got Max Scherzer. He's still an ace as well, even though he's injured. They got him, and then they have Yavaldi. So they don't need Ohtani until 2025, but you best believe Bruce Bochy, I feel like, would love to add Ohtani to not only to that starting lineup, but to that stacked-ass batting order. So I think the Rangers would be a perfect fit for him. Now, I don't know if they have the money, but if he were to sign with the Rangers, I think the Rangers would actually win some championships too, because I've already said it. I love Bruce Bochy. You know, he won my San Francisco Giants 3 championships, something I never thought in a million years I was going to see. So thank you, Bruce. Love you. And now that he's coaching the Rangers or managing the Rangers, I expect him to at least walk away with 1 championship with them. He's already building up a really solid squad. You know, of course, the injuries, injuries are injuries. They're always going to happen, and you can't predict when, how, or what is going to happen with them. So that's not on him. But I feel like Ohtani would be huge for the Rangers. And you throw him in a starting pitching lineup with those 3 guys? Whew, I don't know, man. That would be big. So I feel like the Rangers would be a really good out of left field spot for him to sign. Like I said, I don't know if the Rangers could afford that because I don't know what their situation is, but hey, I think Ohtani would be an excellent fit for the Rangers. But I mean, at this rate, who wouldn't he be a good fit for? He would be a great fit for anybody. And like I said, I feel like every team is going to make a play for him. And we'll find out where he signs because we still have quite a bit of baseball to go. We still have a couple weeks left of the regular season, and then the best time of the year starts, playoff time. So we're almost there, but we have a long-ass time to see where Ohtani ends up signing. All right, guys, enjoy the jam-packed week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.